WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. A search is underway for a submersible with five people on board, 900 miles east of Cape Cod. The group was to view the wreckage of the Titanic and disappeared less than 2 hours into yesterday's journey. Coast Guard Rear Admiral John Mauger.
We launched a C-130 aircraft to conduct an aerial search, both visual and radar of the scene.
I'm Wendy Gillette. Correspondent David Pogue was on board the submersible for a story that aired on CBS News Sunday morning.
On that sub at this moment are the pilot, a scientist, and three paying passengers.
At a cost of $250,000 each, the sub is one of a kind to view the wreckage of the Titanic 2.5 miles deep in the Atlantic.
What concerns me is this thing has seven different ways of returning to the surface.
But so far, no sign of it.
Officials in Mississippi are assessing the damage after multiple tornadoes overnight. CBS's Omar Villafranca reports.
Row after row of homes in Lewin, Mississippi were torn to shreds by a powerful tornado that touched down overnight. One person was killed and nearly two dozen were injured. Emergency responders scrambled to pull survivors from the rubble. Several people were transported to area hospitals.
Excessive heat warnings are covering much of Texas through Tuesday evening. The latest from KRLD's Alan Skaya.
The ambulance provider here in Fort Worth says 20 people got sick walking in a Juneteenth event and had to go to a cooling station and get water. Two people went to the hospital. Some say the weather took them by surprise.
With it raining, it was more humid.
I love the 8 o'clock hour because we had a lot of overcast. It was kind of cool, but by 11 o'clock, it was really hot.
The National Weather Service says the heat index could reach 120 degrees. Over the next 2 days over much of Texas from the Oklahoma border to the Rio Grande. Alan Skaya for CBS News, Fort Worth.
Juneteenth marks the day the last enslaved African Americans in the U.S. learned of their emancipation. In Fort Worth, Texas, the woman known as the grandmother of Juneteenth, Opal Lee, took part in the annual Walk for Freedom.
I'm impressed with what has happened, but more has to be done. More people need to be aware of the significance of Juneteenth.
President Biden in Palo Alto, California today focused on climate change, visiting a nature center, and touring coastal wetlands. Mr. Biden says his administration is beefing up its approach to fighting climate change.
We're investing in the people and places that have been hit the hardest, but who are also on the front lines of leading us forward.
On Wall Street today, the markets were closed for the Juneteenth holiday. This is CBS News.
Hiring is a lot easier with Indeed. Their powerful platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in southeast Wisconsin. Two separate shootings within a 90-minute time frame last night resulted in the deaths of two men in Milwaukee. The first shooting took place at around 9 last night, and no arrests have been made at this point. This past weekend, the rides weren't the only danger at Six Flags. Brittany Merlot has the story.
A man was arrested at Six Flags Great America in Gurnee over the weekend for allegedly attempting to bring a loaded gun in a baby stroller. An X-ray screening revealed a handgun in a diaper bag. The man, who is on parole in Louisiana, has been charged with felon in possession of a firearm and aggravated unlawful use of a weapon. I'm Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
A 16-year-old was in the car when a Racine man was pulled over on I-94 over the weekend. That teenage passenger enhanced an OWI charge after troopers pulled over 48-year-old Andre Lewis on I-94 near Highway 11 Saturday. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Walks has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Walks. GTWLawyers.com.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dominic Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigby Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about over the weekend. Interesting weekend. Joe Rogan got my attention. I'm not a big Joe Rogan fan. But Joe Rogan this weekend got my attention when he went after one of the most brilliant guys on vaccines in the entire country. This is one of those moments where, you know, over the weekend, again, my mind is in this weird place of, you know, Rogan's got this huge, hugely popular podcast. Millions of people tune in, and going after this Professor Peter Hotez. Now, Hotez is a brilliant guy. This is a professor of pediatric. Hold on, I gotta get this. Professor of pediatrics, molecular virology at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston. He's the dean of the Baylor College of Medicine's National School of Tropical Medicine. He's the chair of the Tropical Pediatrics Department at Children's Hospital in Houston, Texas Children's Hospital in Houston. He's written books. He's studied his entire life. He's done all this stuff. So Joe Rogan says, well, you know, I had RFK Jr. on the show. And, you know, you're saying what he's saying is misinformation. So I'm going to offer you a big amount of money to your charity of your choice, to come on and debate him. And I'm going, hold on a second. Here's this guy. Brilliant. I'm head of this, head of that, studied this, written books here, that, all this stuff. And you're going to have him debate RFK Jr., a kook, someone who won the sperm lottery. He was born into an affluent family, so people pay attention to him. And that's the level of his expertise. I remember, you know, when my kids were born, he had everybody all worked up over there's Tamiflu in the vaccines, and it's causing autism, and had a huge, huge ripple effect across people that I knew. Wasn't true, but hey, you know, just asking questions here. Just, you know, I'm just pointing stuff out here. And the reality is, you know, someone like Rogan and RFK Jr., they've got no business whatsoever in calling someone who's an actual expert out. So when this came up and this professor said, no, I'm not going to do that. He knows there's only one way for him, and that's down. He can only lose in this. It can only get worse by platforming some kook and going, well, you know, there's a case, and we know. Never mind the millions of lives that have been saved by vaccines. Never mind the realities Well, we know of a case. There's a case where someone got sick and something bad happened. So, and all they want to do is get this professor in a gotcha moment so they can get their 30-second little video and go, see, see, even the doctor said vaccines are bad. That's what this is all about. It's, and over the weekend, I had a lot of fun with friends talking about this. Because understand, this is about dividing. This is about Rogan being a chaos merchant and looking for attention. Look, I get it. That's his gig. Hey, look at me. He needs eyes and ears. I get this. But by platforming someone like RFK Jr. and then saying he's on the same level as this Dr. Peter Hotez is just incredible to me. So we had some fun going back and forth with him. You know, I said, you know, look, you know, it'd be like me going to my mechanic and, you know, demanding that he explain gasoline is real. You know, and it's just putting my car to control me while he's standing there covered in grease trying to figure out what's wrong with it. I mean, it's we're in this weird kind of place. It's like, you know, arguing which Kool-Aid was better at Jonestown. Yeah, now understand, as I said, Rogan's a chaos merchant. That's his gig. He's looking for attention, needs the ears, needs that. That's it. I get it. Stir some stuff up, make some controversy, get your name out. That's the gig. But with someone with the kind of platform that he's got, the power that he's got, it's dangerous. Because what they do here is, I'm just asking questions. Just asking questions. You know, was Hitler really a nice guy if you got to know him? Just asking questions. Not that I believe it. Is the Holocaust real? I mean, this kind of insanity that we allow. Because, well, I'm just asking. It's not what I really think. Some people say, no. And the reality is you can't debate a destroyer. Someone who wants to tear things apart. You can't. Perfect example. On the same RFK podcast with Rogan, you know, they put out a little clip of RFK Jr. shows Joe Rogan how Wi-Fi is killing us. So there's a minute long clip of them talking about, you know, Wi-Fi, it's killing us. And they pull up a story from the internet and they start reading it. Rogan's, oh my God, how come we don't know this? And RFK chimes in, it opens your blood-brain barrier. It degrades your mitochondria. Well, how do you know this? Well, I don't know. I'm just, you know, I just saw it. And you got Rogan going, wow, how come we don't know this? We got to get rid of Wi-Fi. And millions of people are out there going, Joe Rogan said so. Must be true. And look, I don't know if it degrades the blood-brain barrier, but neither does RFK Jr. And this is the problem with putting someone who is an actual expert on the stage with a destroyer. Now, this is not new. We've had these, or it's just debate, had a conversation with a flat earther recently. Remember the woman, what was her name? Candace something, or Candace Taylor? She ran for something in Georgia under the Jesus Guns and Babies logo. Remember that? Well, she went on a rant recently about globes. You know, the world's, they want to make us think the world's round when really there's globes everywhere. And I had someone who actually, you know, thought that was, yeah, why are there globes? Because the planet is round. No, it's flat. Look at maps. Maps are flat. I mean, this is the kind of insanity when you start platforming the dim. And then I could just go, you know what, you know, globes and maps aren't real either. They're just figments of our imagination. And this is where this insanity goes. And the point is to tear down any real information, to make everything suspect. There's nothing real. There's no truth. There's no fact. There's no up. There's no down. There's only whatever. And the misinformation merchants, the people who are out there peddling this stuff, and well, you know, I had a conversation with my son recently. He was saying, look, you know, I look at my social media feeds. It's all craziness. It's all right-wing insanity. It's all tear down society. It's not even fascistic anymore. It's anarchy. It's destroy. It's burn it down. It's nothing is real kind of propaganda. And you look at the fact that the Republican Party has really, there was just a story in the New York Times today that pointed out that you've got Republican legislators add Republican hit groups going after universities, going after people who are studying disinformation, people who are trying to go, hey, well, you know, all of this stuff that you're not factual. And they're doing it in a very systematic way, using a court system that's, well, full with Trump acolytes. And this is one of these moments where be afraid, because the Republican Party is about destroying the fabric. It's not even about ideology anymore. It's about tearing down what is. You know, I used to think that you could argue on ideas, but our elected leaders on the Republican side, especially, it's all about attention. It's all about chaos. It's all about, you know, getting the eyes and the ears, and not about the truth. I mean, I look at some of Ted Cruz's stuff, and it's dangerously wrong. But hey, this is our reality. You know, Lindsey Graham was being interviewed by George Stephanopoulos, and Stephanopoulos went to ask a question about Trump, and Graham went into some Hillary Clinton answer. And he's like, hey, you know, how about answering the question? Well, I'm giving you the Republican point of view. And this is the world that we're moving into. It's no longer about what is right or wrong. It's now no longer about what is factual. It's about what my point of view is, what my perspective is. And I'll tell you, this is scary stuff. So when you have this professor who's saying, look, I'm not going to put myself in the middle of this. I'm not going to put myself in the middle of a situation where I can only lose, because my words will be distorted. My words will be taken out of context. My words will be put up in 30-second little sound bites and used to manipulate thought. I was thinking about George Orwell, and Orwell could never have conceived what we are living through right now with social media. I mean, I think of the 2 minutes hate that they used to talk about in the book. We are living in the 30 seconds. And we're carrying it around, and we're absorbing, because it's no longer about entertainment anymore. It's now called micro-learning. We're learning about the blood-brain barrier from RFK Jr., who has no credentials whatsoever about... I bet you can't even find it in a dictionary. And this is the scary point of where we're at. So I want to hear your thoughts. 1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. You afraid of Wi-Fi? Is gonna do something to the blood-brain barrier? I don't know if it is or it isn't, but I know RFK Jr. is not the expert on it, and neither is Joe Rogan. Dangerous stuff. Back after this.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So evidently, Donald Trump was on Fox today. And this, again, is another one of these moments where mind-blowing. Just absolutely how it is we're in this moment where as a country we haven't thrown this bum to the curb is just, it's beyond me. But evidently today he's defending his stealing of the classified documents by saying, look, you know, they were in boxes. The documents were in boxes. My stuff was in the box. You don't want me to give you my stuff. Because, of course, my stuff, much more important than your stuff. You know, that national security stuff. Because it's mine. And, you know, I got to tell you, this is one of those things where you go, maybe you should stop talking. Maybe you should get a lawyer to tell you, don't say any more. You have the right to remain silent. Use it, as my grandfather used to say. But this is one of those things where he truly, in his mind, thinks he's legitimately okay because no one's ever told him no. And the weird thing is we're in this moment where really radical Republicans that I've never really liked, I got to look to as maybe they're going to be able to save the country. Someone like John Bolton, who has said that, you know, when he was national security advisor, actually witnessed firsthand him mishandling classified material. He said, I think he was kind of a collector of things that he thought were of interest to him. And for some reason or other, clippings, mementos, classified documents. If you remember, this is what I said from the very beginning. Right when all this started, I go, at the end of the day, for me, this is about him just taking stuff because he can. Hey, look how important I am. Look what a big shot I am. Look what I've got. I've got the nuclear secrets right here laying on my bathroom floor. Look how important I am. And the thing is, you know, we're talking about, they're weaponizing the FBI. You know, the FBI waited over a year before they did anything to go after Trump? A year. If it were you or me, it would have been done by now. Just in the time for me to say, Now, here's the thing. I mean, we've got to hope that there are some Republicans of conscience and courage who are going to step forward. I'm, again, not overly hopeful, but there are some people who are speaking out. And I look at, like Mark Esper. He was Trump's former Secretary of Defense. He came out and said, you know, it's just irresponsible action that places our service members at risk, places our national security at risk. You cannot have these documents floating around. They need to be secured. We know how this happens, that only authorized persons are allowed to see documents or receive information from documents, of which Trump thought everything is his. But my favorite slam of Trump came from Billy Barr. Who, again, as I said from the beginning, poor parenting has brought us Donald Trump. Barr said he's like a defiant 9-year-old kid who's always pushing the glass towards the edge of the table, defying his parents from stopping him from doing it. He said, our country cannot be a therapy session for a troubled man like this. And you go, yes. So why are we still pushing the Trump argument? The election was stolen, even though I'm a winner, I lost. They've weaponized everything against me. The world's against me. How is that this still stands? Because again, what we've done is we've created a media empire in this country of just asking questions. Don't have to back any of this stuff up. And then we call that media. So I'm in this weird kind of moment because I like facts. I like smart people. I like to know that there's somebody working on things that are going to make our lives better. And as we're tearing down institutions, as we're destroying the body of thought, because, you know, and this is not new, you know, during, you know, the one campaign, you know, Trump during the campaign in 16 said, I love the poorly educated. I would throw in there, love the over misinformed. Because it's you're able to manipulate them. And you know, I talk about this all the time. I mean, the fact that we're so easily divided and pitted against each other. Now, look, has government done the greatest job in keeping our trust? No. Has private corporations done that? No. This is where accountability has to happen. But not in this, we've got to burn everything down. The anger level has ramped up to the point where I'm really concerned about where we're heading. You know, conservatives used to be about, you know, saving institutions. You know, if there were problems, we would fix them. Now it's about tearing things apart. And as I said earlier, I've always been concerned about we're moving towards fascism. We're moving toward a corporatized government where profit motives and the very wealthy, they're the deciders. But it looks more like anarchy. It looks more like we're just tearing stuff down for the anger. And it's because people are struggling. And I bring this back to our economy. I bring it back to the fact that people are working harder and longer and struggling to make ends meet. And life is difficult for folks. I bring it back to, you know, for so long, we've been yelling at each other. And look, the polls keep moving further and further and further apart. You can't have actual discussions anymore. We're yelling at each other. And this, why can't we just have a debate over vaccines is kind of extraordinarily disingenuous, but dangerous. And I'm looking at it from the political side, where you've got the Stephen Millers of the world, and what's the group what's the legal defense group he's come up with, the America First Legal. Yeah, got to get that in America First. And they are going and they're suing a bunch of people. If you don't let us spew our insanity, if you don't let us say the most outrageous stuff, because we're just asking questions here. They're going to sue you. And they've got the money to do it. And they've got the influence and the power to do it. And we're seeing this, again, happening with governments. And I had someone tell me the other day, look what Twitter did to conservatives. And I go, okay, well, what did Twitter do to conservatives? Well, they banned us. No, they didn't. They simply said that misinformation is not something that they're going to peddle it. Well, the government made them. No. The government didn't make anyone. They requested, but they didn't make. Now you go, but Rick, you know, a request. Yeah, there's some power in that request. But there was no mandate. Twitter was a private for-profit corporation. They have rules of service. You have no free speech rights. That's the reality on any of these social media platforms. And again, I get this, but Rick, we've got free speech. No, you have free speech between you and your government, not between you and a social media platform. But it's the public square. No. No, you signed terms of service. Read them. And this is where my frustration is, because as my son reminded me, the algorithms right now are pushing the most crazy stuff. And there's a generation of kids who are being influenced by this stuff. You want to talk about groomers? You want to talk about people who are harming children? I don't really care about the drag queens. I'm looking at the real influence that's coming from social media. That's tearing us at the threads. Got an email from Joe. This is another one of those moments. Joe Rogan's right. There should be a debate. What are you afraid of? I'm not afraid of debating anything, Joe, if you're talking about people who are debating on the same plane, in the same reality, in the same worldview, in the same world. You cannot debate with a destroyer. Someone wants to tear something apart, you're never going to get an honest debate. What you are going to get, and I just said this, Joe, the reality is, all they're looking for are those 30-second little clips of Peter Hotez saying, hey, you know, there was a case of a vaccine doing this. There was some bad outcome. But never mind the again the incredible work that it's done on the other side. But there is this over here. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for that moment of honesty that they can then manipulate. So for me, again, I see no upside for the professor to move in that direction. But I do think we as a society need to start having conversations about whether we get our news from places like Rogan and how much influence we allow them. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Quick break. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two.
On this day in labor history, the year was 1953. That was the day 26,000 members of the ILWU in Hawaii walked off the job. Their strike was a four-day protest against the witch hunt convictions of the Hawaii Seven. Many docks and plantations immediately shut down. Stevedores refused to load military cargo headed to the war in Korea. At the height of the McCarthyite Red Scare, Union militants continued to be the primary targets of anti-communist hysteria. Longshoreman leader Jack Hall and six co-defendants had just been tried and convicted under the Smith Act. The ILWU denounced the trial and verdict as a frame-up. It was the ultimate move to bust the increasingly powerful union on the islands. The ILWU had come under heightened surveillance after successfully organizing stevedores and many sugar and pineapple plantations. The real trouble began after a long and bitter dock strike in 1949. Then Nebraska Senator Hugh Butler proclaimed the island to be firmly in the grips of a communist attack. HUAC arrived the next year to investigate the Red situation. In August 1951, the FBI conducted early morning raids to arrest the Seven on charges of violating the Smith Act. The arrests came as the ILWU threatened a sugar strike, having reached an impasse in contract negotiations. During the trial, it was clear the Seven were being tried not for anything they did, but for allegedly being part of a vast and secret conspiracy. The proceedings had the quality of a show trial, designed more to terrorize the public and labor movement than to prosecute any actual crime. Their convictions were finally overturned with the landmark 1957 Yates decision, which rendered much of the Smith Act unenforceable. Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
The six-person majority of far-right supremes, who presently dominate America's judicial system, seems intent on demonstrating that having a seat on our Supreme Court does not mean there is anything supreme about them. Consider one bottom-line measure of character that is central to the court's integrity: financial ethics. This simply requires the judges to file annual reports to reveal any sources of outside income and gifts, thus providing some minimal assurance to regular folks that the eminences are not taking personal payments from moneyed interests seeking favorable court rulings. But unlike all other top government officials, Supreme Court justices have a loosey-goosey system for reporting financial conflicts of interest. It's called Trust Us. Thus, for years, Clarence Thomas has been taking millions of dollars worth of gimmies from a right-wing corporate billionaire while voting to impose this benefactor's plutocratic agenda as the law of the land. Yet, in two decades of financial reports to the people, there is not a whisper from his supremeness that he has regularly pocketed a wealth of gratuities from this special friend. Or take John Roberts, the Chief Justice, who poses as a paragon of judicial independence while aggressively pressing an agenda of corporate supremacy over the common good. While he's not known to take payments from corporate interests, his wife does. She's been paid millions of dollars in commissions to recruit lawyers for firms that have business before Justice Roberts. Yet, until this special interest enrichment of his family was recently uncovered, Roberts never mentioned it in his annual reports. Meanwhile, every federal official must agree to abide by a code of ethical behavior, with the exception of nine officials who have exempted themselves, saying, "Trust us." Yes, the Supremes. This is Jim Hightower saying, since the court refuses to fix itself, the people must. To help, go to fixthecourt.com.
Welcome.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So as we've been talking about, I look at this situation with Joe Rogan calling out this esteemed professor saying, hey, you know, what's the harm in coming and debating? What's the harm of you with all of these credentials, you with all of this expertise? What's the harm in coming and debating a kook like RFK Jr.? And again, if it's me, there's no way, because there's only a losing proposition here. But this is much bigger than just this instance. This is about devaluing intelligence, attacking intellect, attacking knowledge, attacking facts. And that's why I've asked Dr. Eric Ding to come talk with us. He's an epidemiologist, health economist, faculty member at the New England Complex System Institute, also co-founder of the World Health Network. Dr. Ding, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm sure you've paid attention to this situation with Joe Rogan and Professor Hotez and RFK Jr. Give me your gut reaction. Is this something fair, or was this a hit job?
Oh, this was definitely the most set up, coordinated thing on Twitter I've seen in quite a while. I'm friends with Peter Hotez, and I would just say he is, just from the top, the kindest, most gentlest man. And, you know, Peter actually has been on the Rogan Show before, you know, just as a standalone invited guest. So, like, Joe did not need to, like, make this huge scene on Twitter as if, like, they don't know each other. He could have just called or texted Peter, you know, to ask for something. So the fact that he made this whole, you know, this whole angry kind of little scene was quite remarkable. And it's clearly showing that he's trying to make a big act out of it. And, you know, the issue is, like, you know, it wasn't about whether you get invited by Joe Rogan or not. That was never the problem. Again, Peter's been on his show before. The issue is that, you know, debating RFK Jr. Because RFK Jr. is not just some, you know, average guy. Yeah, he's running for Democrat for president. Of course, he's special. But in the world of vaccines, he is the biggest. He is the disinfo king. His organization, I'm not even going to say the name, starts with a C. It's been the long for decades the biggest vaccine disinfo, and it's not just COVID vaccine. It's been going on for years.
We're talking about measles.
We're talking about almost every vaccine. He's been a disinfo king about, and now you know he's also one who spreads also lies about 5G radio towers and everything. Like trying to gaslight Peter and trick Peter and make it a huge scene. Why won't you debate me? Rogan already knows Peter, could have asked him nicely in some making a big angry stink scene on Twitter. It's just totally inappropriate and set up, and it's just a publicity stunt for RFK Jr.
No, so, absolutely, it's a publicity stunt. That's the point. The point of doing it in that way was to create this stir, knowing that I don't think the professor would have ever agreed, because he could only lose. It's only a hit job, because you know that they're going to clip out 30 seconds of this or 30 seconds of this bit of honesty to use against him. There's no upside for the professor. Yeah. And I don't know why you would say, okay, I'm going to be this esteemed expert and I'm going to platform someone who's a kook.
Yeah, and this is not just any kook. He's the king of the anti-vax kooks. So this is why, you know, this is equivalent to Joe Rogan saying, hey, Holocaust Museum, you know, I dare you to come, you know, speak the truth against this Holocaust denialist. Yeah. And the Holocaust Museum's like, wait, it's what, 2023, and I still have to argue against these neo-Nazi, you know, Holocaust denier kooks? Like this is like below dignifying. There's plenty of scientific evidence. And again, it's like debate. Like, you know, Dr. Peter Hotez is someone who invents vaccines and for like these neglected childhood diseases and gives them patent free for during COVID to different countries of the world. Like, he gets no profit whatsoever. He gives it patent free to all these different countries. Yeah. Like, the man's a saint. So, like, if you know Dr. Hotez.
And this is why. But for me, this is bigger than just going after him. This is about, you know, a misinformation machine on steroids. This is really about destroying I think it's more about destroying him and intellectual thoughts and knowledge and all of this, and bringing us down to, you know, basically the level of we micro learn through our little YouTube videos.
Yeah. Well, through Rogan's podcast. Forget scientists. Come micro learn on my, you know, Joe Rogan Experience show, right? Because, you know, I get it. Joe Rogan invites lots of scientists. He gets Neil deGrasse Tyson all the time. Sometimes he gets entertaining people and legit people. But the issue is, like, you know, RFK Jr., who's clearly running for president, trying to create this big, you know, publicity thing whenever, you know, Jack Dorsey, you know, a former Twitter CEO before Elon Musk, you know, has already endorsed him. Like, all this tech kind of, it's inherently trying to just drum up RFK Jr. Yeah. for a political stunt.
And what it does to me.
And using Peter Hotez as the body bag along the way, it's just totally, totally irresponsible. And Joe Rogan's been caught and called out for vaccine disinfo during the pandemic already. Like, I remember very clearly he got, like, live checked by one of his audiences, and you know, there was this whole, you know, we should, you know, boycott Spotify, the thing. This is like a year and a half, 2 years ago.
I remember.
Like, I don't know if you remember.
Sure.
So he's been at this for quite a while, and I don't think Joe Rogan is a bad person. I think he's just someone who plays it for the media attention. And he's surrounded by people who whisper stupid stuff to him, honestly.
It comes down to, I'm just asking the question. Just asking the question.
Yeah. It's a very Tucker Carlson type of style sometimes, you know. Oh, why won't you debate me? And it's like, well, you know, Peter Hotez, his peers, when he publishes science, is the peer review of other scientists, you know. Like, it's peer review of vaccine science doesn't go through the Joe Rogan podcast.
But as a doctor, as in looking at, you know, the health of the country and in the future of, you know, of vaccination and all of this, are you concerned about the damage that they've already done? I mean, I go back, you brought up RFK Jr.'s got a long track record of this. You know, when my 21-year-old daughter was born, you know, I remember his rant about Tamiflu, and we actually asked our pediatrician about it. Going, hey, is there anything to this? Now, again, I went to someone I view as an expert, someone I trusted, and got information that I trusted. But this guy was out there spewing stuff, you know, over 20 years ago.
Yeah. 20 years ago and counting, and his family members, the Kennedy clan family, have told him to stop. So, but he keeps going, and he's been wrong time and time and time again. Vaccines, you know, save lives. There's countless studies on this, and, you know, and just going to a podcast to argue this is just ridiculous. I'm here to just defend science and to defend Peter, because Peter is just the nicest guy in the world, and it's, you know, you can say, boom, nice guys can be bad people. Like, no, he's not like, oh, he's not anywhere in the league of, say, the Andrew Tates of the world. You know, like, Peter Hotez, you cannot compare. And you, like, but that's what people are saying. I know that last statement of comparing Andrew Tate to what? That doesn't make sense. But there are people who, you know, for example, Joe Rogan got called out for conflating big pharma, shilling. That's the big line. You know, why won't you debate me? He's a pharma shill. But, you know, Mark Cuban called him out correctly the other day that, this pharma shill thing, like, look, there's big pharma who obviously abused people during the, you know, the opioid epidemic, right? That's, and obviously, you know, also abused people because of the cost of insulin. But that's completely different. That's completely different than these scientists who develop these vaccines patent-free, who do research. You know, it's completely different. And again, there's also good pharma that try to bring down the cost of these things, you know, and pharma also reduces a lot of things. And again, I have no conflict, you know, whatsoever here. It's just, you know, Mark Cuban called him out on that. It's like, you know, Joe, come on, you know, you've ever taken medicine, you know, it's, you can't just conflate all these different pharma companies together. It's just not the same, but that's inherently what Joe Rogan's part of his argument about shilling and all that. Right, it's just ridiculous, some of these arguments.
Right, but what they do, Dr. Ding, is it's there's anger out there, and you have to recognize there's real anger out there. And they play on that anger. They play on that fear. They play on the fact that most of us don't know. We're not epidemiologists or virologists. Maybe you can get one as a license in the Cracker Jack box, but it's not going to get you very far. So they play on that not knowing. And then they play on the conspiracy that there's someone out there who's trying to take advantage of you, trying to make profit off you. Yeah. They're trying to kill you, Dr. Ding. They're going to put that virus in you, and they're going to track you.
Yeah. Yeah, or they find that one kooky doctor who says, oh, climate science is not real, oh, it's fake, whenever, 99.99% of scientists clearly show it's real. But you can always find this one naysayer, yep. Right? And then, obviously, they have these crazy ones on their side who, Dr. So-and-so agrees with RFK Jr. Yeah. They'll find these kooks, and some of them have been disbarred. Some of them have lost their medical license. They are out there, but this is the same playbook as the anti-climate change denialists. Same with Holocaust denialists. You'll find these one random kooks, and then try to discredit the entire. Big Tobacco years ago did the same thing. Oh, the science is not clear. There's all this kind of stuff. It's the same playbook to spread confusion. And honestly, here, there's a lot of people who, I don't want to have autism. I don't want my kids to have autism. Maybe you're right. I shouldn't, but look, Dr. Peter Hotez's daughter once had autism. Okay. And it wasn't vaccines that caused her autism. He knows firsthand. He's been fighting this for the last 20, 30 years. Right. And, his daughter had autism. This is like the as personal as you can get. And he's a world leading vaccine scientist. And this is why, he's been the bane of RFK Jr. for the last, 20 years, 30 years on this thing.
So let me ask you last line of question I've got for you, Dr. Ding, because, I'm concerned about where we are. There's all this misinformation out there. There are people going, they're just asking questions. What's wrong with asking a question? How do we get through this? How do we get through the sea of insanity? How do we get through how do you weed through the RFK juniors of the world? And how in this day and age, do we get actual fact? Do we get actual information? How do we do that?
Yeah, I think the key is, like, first of all, you don't platform these crazy nut jobs, these disinformation kings out there. And Joe Rogan, he clearly commands one of the largest pods and audiences out there on the internet, especially among those who don't watch mainstream media. You can just say, oh, we need more news reporting. No, that's not going to reach these people. But Joe Rogan should know better. Joe Rogan is a clearly, I don't want Joe Rogan to become the next Alex Jones. But he's going down that rabbit hole, honestly, because, with all this conspiracy theory that Alex Jones spread, obviously he got his comeuppance, but, Joe Rogan's even more powerful than Alex Jones. And the fact that I'm seeing him fall to the dark side with RFK Jr., it's just incredibly sad. It just makes me so angry and sad. And, how do we fix it? Well, it's not just, regular media. It's not just news reporters. There's an echo chamber of people out there who don't watch the news, and those, they need the Joe Rogans of the world to cut that shit out, honestly, because it is killing people. He should know better. He can effing behave and be polite and kind and call Peter up privately to ask him. He doesn't have to do this showmanship and all this nonsense. Right. And this showmanship is what actually also makes me so angry, because he's known Peter. Peter's been on his show. He could have asked him. He has his cell phone number and email. He didn't have to do this. And the fact that he's doing this for a publicity stunt shows me he's going the way of these these nut jobs who are, you know, clearly talking heads on Fox News, but secretly texting themselves, oh, don't worry, it's all just a show. Rogan should be more socially damn responsible and not, you know, play this crazy conspiracy game. And I'm very disappointed in him right now.
Yeah, I got to tell you, sitting in this chair, I know it's all about the money. It's all about the attention. And that's, you know, he's a master at it. He got the attention he wanted. He's got people across the country talking about it. But I fear that the damage of, well, what's wrong with debating? That's going to do real damage, I think.
Yeah. And he can't just convene. Like, that's not how the internet works. Why won't you debate me? Like, you know, I could yell at, yeah, you and I can yell at Rogan. Why won't you debate me on something? That's not how the internet works. And just trying to abuse people. And clearly there are stalkers who showed up at Hotez's door. I hope Rogan sees that this could get out of hand. Like, if there's people showing up the next day on Father's Day at Peter Hotez's door, this could get worse if he leans into it. And so he needs to grow, man the F up and grow up and stop doing this to Dr. Hotez.
Dr. Ding, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much for your expertise and your thoughts.
Thank you so much. Stay safe.
Now, this is scary stuff. Show up on your doorstep on Father's Day. This could get out of hand and it could be dangerous because these people are untethered. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Quick break, right back.
Open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1865. That was the day that 2,000 Union soldiers marched into Galveston, Texas. With them, they carried the news that those enslaved were now free. The Confederate General Robert E. Lee had actually surrendered more than 2 months earlier. Why then was there a delay in delivering the news of emancipation to Texas? It might have been that there were not enough federal troops to enforce the order. It has also been speculated that freedom was postponed to allow enough time for the enslaved workforce to harvest one last crop of cotton before freedom. Whatever the reason, General Order No. 3 finally was delivered. It read, quote, "The people of Texas are informed that in accordance with a proclamation of the Executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves, and the connection existing between them becomes that between employer and free laborer." On hearing of the news, the newly freed people celebrated. The next year, they celebrated again in a holiday that became known as Juneteenth. In the years that followed, the holiday spread to other cities. But in the segregated South, black residents were often barred from holding Juneteenth events on public land. That is why in 1872, several black men in Houston purchased property and established Emancipation Park as a space to hold the celebration. In 1980, Texas became the first state to formally recognize Juneteenth. Today, this holiday is celebrated in black neighborhoods across the country, with gatherings, barbecues, songs, and remembrances of the fight for freedom. Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
1-866-416-RICK, 1-866-416-7425. Look, you know, at the end of this, I think Dr. Ding is spot on. There's no way that this should have gone to this, but it was all about the attention and taking this guy down. Think about it. They're sending people to this guy's house. Let's go to the phones. Got Alice on one. Alice, how are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. I guess you're feeling better yourself.
I'm getting there. Getting there.
You sound better. So I wanted to say the thing about this misinformation, especially with regards to the vaccines. You know, that's across all political lines. On the left, we have all these so-called new agers.
Yep. No, the fact that RFK is as popular as is shows that there are kooks on the Democratic side, too.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you what, those new agers, they're just whack jobs. They're as bad as the right-wing evangelicals. And they spread their little misinformation. They have their blog spots, and they have their, they write their little books and have their Facebook groups. It's, it makes you wonder, well, I guess not. Stupidity, I guess, knows no political bounds.
No, but here's the thing, Alice. We've always had those people among us. They've always been there. There have always been people who think they're smarter than everyone else. There have always been people who are distrustful and conspiratorial. They've always been there. They've just never organized and been as well-funded as they are now. And I argue that the moneyed interests keep using them to keep us divided and torn apart, and our politics as badly broken as they are because they keep benefiting. That's the simple explanation.
Well, not, I agree with you, but not only that, you know, my cousin passed away 2 years ago, and he was down all these rabbit holes, and I got to looking into some of his stuff, and I was like, you know, we can trace this back, and it was actually from Russia disinformation. So I think between the political forces here in our country, you know, with the wealthy and some of those, that we also have the foreign money, too.
Yeah. Oh, my God, you said Russia, Alice. Oh, you're wrong. Hoax.
You know what? They can kiss my grits, right?
you
have a good evening,
Thanks
Rick.
So much, Alice. There you go. No, and this is one of those weird spots. You know, we've always had, you know, the crazy people on the corner who are, you know, just, you know, shouting into the wind. They're now gaining power and political power. They're organizing. And that's troublesome. Now, the hope is, and this is where, you know, the hope had always been that you elect people who are sane. You elect people who are rational. You elect people who want to do a job and move the country in a better direction. And calm the fevers of insanity. But what we've got now are people who are just fueling the fire. All across the board. Yeah, it's one thing for Rogan to go out and say, "You know, we could debate and I'm going to platform this kook." You're seeing the same kind of stuff coming out of people in Congress, though. And I don't know when that turns around. I don't know if there's a moment where we have a collective, this isn't working, where there's a collective, hey, wait a second, this is ridiculous. Because it seems to me, that people just aren't paying attention. And I look at Texas. Texas just passed what is called the Death Star Bill. The governor signed it. It's House Bill 2127. It's called the Death Star Bill. And what it basically says is that the state controls everything. They preempt everything. All laws, no local laws can be passed that the state has any power over. So the story over at the Texas Tribune over the weekend was the state of Texas last year had 279 people who died on the job because of heat-related deaths. 279 people. Austin and Dallas passed requirements that if a temperature hits such a good degree, you have to give workers water breaks. Those are now going to be gone as of September 1st. Because the state of Texas says, no, we don't have them. You can't have them. We're grasping power. Now, remember, the Republican Party are the people who tell us about small, less intrusive government, get government out of our lives, local control. And yet they're using every power that they've got. And you know, it's only 279 workers. Who cares? They're just people who, you know, who build your high rises and drill your oil and do all that stuff. We can replace them. But the fact that we don't even talk about that stuff. It's about this stuff that you're never, the average person is never going to grasp. And it's troubling to me.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.